just come before you, Lord, thanking you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are the one who will be coming again one day to get your church, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you be with each and every person here today, Lord. Lord, that you would just bless them, Lord, that you would just call them out, Lord, into a higher calling with you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and for your grace, Lord, and your mercy that you have given us in our life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. You may be seated.
Because we have a lot of legalism
within churches. Tradition. We put tradition over the Bible so many times, and we need to step back and we need to look at what God's Word says and not what we think. Or, well, this is the way we've always heard it. Well, if it's against God's Word, you heard it wrong. If it is with God's Word, you heard it right. So, but we want to pick and choose what we want people to have for salvation. Well, in order to be saved, you need to do this, 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 and this. Well, according to God's Word, in order to be saved, you need to receive grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that's what Paul is really putting together here at the very beginning of the book of, the letter to the Galatians, that there is no other gospel. There is only one. There is only one way to be saved, and that is by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and not by following a set of rules, or if I do this, or if I do that, or if I don't do this, and I don't do that, then I can be saved. That is not what Jesus Christ says. And I love going through, and I read through this, you know, last night. You can sit down and read through the book of Galatians, the 6 chapters. Broke up, and actually you can look at five different ways, whichever way you want to look at it. But you can look at and read through the book of Galatians and see that God is doing something, and Paul is showing us that it is not by what we have done physically is what saves us. It's what Christ did on the cross is what saves us. And their biggest area there was circumcision. Well, if you have not been circumcised, then you're not truly saved, is what they were telling the Galatians, the Gentiles at that area, or at that time, that, well, if you can accept Jesus Christ, and that's good, but you really can't be saved until you have done this. You have been circumcised. And Paul is really pushing back on that and saying that is not what the gospel has said. We can't add anything to the gospel. The gospel stands on its own. So the recipients, of course, are the churches in the region of Galatia, you know, which is the modern-day Turkey. And that's not what we have on Thanksgiving. It's north of Israel, if y'all look at a map. We actually had this year before, I can't remember, I think it was the first semester last year, we had a young man, an exchange student from Turkey, you know, at our school. So it is a region that we have today in our world, and it is the modern day Turkey, which we can look at is the same place where the 7 churches in the book of Revelation are also, which are north of Israel. So he was talking about, you know, the occupation or the occasion here. You know, Paul wrote to counter the influence of the Judaizers, the ones who thought you had to add something to it, who were teaching that Gentile converts must follow Jewish law, particularly circumcision, to be fully Christian. And that's when we look at people on the outside today and say, well, I don't know if you're a Christian or not because of the way you look. God really does not care what the outside, the appearance of the outside looks like. He cares about what's on the inside. And if we look throughout the book of Galatians, we see the fruit of the Spirit. But right before the fruit of the Spirit, we see the things that are internal. That God says if you inherit or if you do these things there, if these things are a part of your life, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But they're not physical things that you do. They are who you are. You know, hatred and all of these different things, fornicators, drunkenness, you know, all of these things of who we are on the inside.
So it's not about what you have on the outside. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean that, well, you can go on acting the way that you want to and continue to, or and be saved or have been saved. You know, no, I'm talking about, well, they look different. They don't say the same things we say. They don't look the same way we look. Oh, they have longer hair, or if they have tattoos, or if they have piercings, well, they can't be saved. God never said anything about that in His grace. And if you want to, I'm getting on further in now, but if you want to live by the law, go ahead. I would hate to be you. But you can live by the law if you want, but you will be what? Judged by the law. Because what we like to do as Christians, we like to pick and choose our sins. Or pick and choose our outward appearance, what we like and what we don't like. And we like to get people on that and say, well, I don't like that, so that's wrong. What does God say? We try to look at people and we tell people that you can't do something because you look a certain way, and we are missing out on so much because of the grace of God, of what God has done with that person in their life. So Paul is combating this. You know, some of the things here, you know, that we are justified by faith alone and not by the works of the law. I can't be justified by the works of the law. What does the law show us? That we can't measure up. That we're never going to reach that pinnacle. We're never going to reach that standard that we are saved by faith through grace, or grace through faith, and that alone. You know, in the book of Galatians, we have the Christian liberty, freedom from legalistic bondage. I'm not legally bonded in my life that, man, you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. Or you've got to do certain things in your life in order to be a Christian. I would say, man, let God work on the inside and work out in you. And if God is convicting you, according to His word, He gives us some standards, some commands that we need to live by. But what are them commands? They're not rules. They're things that we need to change on the inside of us, and they work their way out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to see, or we'll see through the book of Galatians, you know, the role of the law, you know, its purposes and its limitations. You know, we need to see that we need to live by the Spirit in contrast, you know, the flesh and the Spirit. We don't let the flesh control us. We let the Spirit. And when the Spirit controls us, we're going to treat people differently. We're going to live our lives in a different way. We're going to be so much, you know, less judgmental and legalistic toward people because they don't do what we do. Well, I was raised in the church, and the church said that you wasn't supposed to do this. What the church actually said is you're supposed to be saved by grace, and we're to love one another. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And what is next and likened to it? To love your neighbor as yourself. And if you will do them two things, then what? You will fulfill the law. You will fulfill the purpose in your life if you will love people the way that God loves them. Galatians, you know, is a typical letter. You know that letter format that Paul has written. You know, and he writes them, you know, to the Philippians, to the Galatians, to Thessalonians. You know, he writes them these different letters, you know, to help them where they're struggling at the most. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know, he wrote them so that he can help them. And he is writing to these Galatians, you know, and Paul, how he introduces himself in the letter, you know, is that he is an apostle, but he doesn't consider himself to be the man of the man. He says, you know, I am an apostle called by the Lord, but I am nothing. Because I persecuted the church. He's seen his wrong. So let's read verses 1 through 10 and just talk through this a little bit. So if you go to the next slide, my slides aren't normal. I've been down. Verse 1 in Galatians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, and of God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the church of Galatia, or in Galatia. You know, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So verses 1 through 5 is an introduction that Paul is introducing himself of who he is, what gives him the authority to speak the things that he was fixing to tell us. You know, Paul, an apostle. What is an apostle? It is a person that God, that Jesus has called to follow him. And who is Paul? What is he an apostle to? The Gentiles. Was Paul a Gentile? No. Paul was a Jew of Jews. He was a Jew that learned from the highest order of the Jews. You know, that he knew all the traditions. He knew all of them things. And God broke that barrier that he had. And he was different whenever he became a Christian. He'd come to know Jesus Christ. So he writes to this church, or these churches in this area, grace to you and peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? And he gave himself, God did, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will. So what was God's purpose? To send his son to die for our sins on the cross. My present, or my past, my present, and my future sins. That God has done that for me and you, that he loved us that much, that he sent his son to die for our sins. In this present evil age that we live in, and they lived in an evil age at that time, but folks, I will say that we live in an evil age today that is corrupt, that has darkness, that is here, you know, and God is wanting to do something. He's wanting to shine his light and give salt to this decaying world. And that light and that salt is through us as Christians. What is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5? He tells us, you know, shine your light before men. Shine your light. What light is that? The light that is inside of you because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And what does he do? This is a doxology type. You know, he gave him glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. And then in verse 6 through verse 10, he goes into, you know, I would say a kind of a rant. Paul likes to give rants sometimes. Peter does. You know, about, hey, what are you thinking? That's what he would say, you know, what we would say today. Man, what are you thinking? Have you not lost your living mind in this? What's going on that you're doing what you're doing? Because God has delivered you, and now you want to go back to living by the law? Why? He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. That's important. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Or, you know, some of the, you know, the King James or some of the original language says anathema. You know, let him be accursed. Let him be thrown out if he is preaching, if he is teaching you that there is any other way to salvation besides the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says it once, but what does he say again? He says in verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches to any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So we see this mentality and this thinking that Paul has that come directly from the Lord, that he has already shared the gospel with them. He has already shared with them that, hey, man, you are saved by grace, and he gave the gospel to them of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, and now they're saying, yes, we believe that, but there are people that are coming in and filling our ears with things that say that you've got to do more. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to follow all the traditions and all the festivals. And you've got to do all of these things in order to truly be saved and have a relationship with Jesus Christ and go and to be with him in heaven one day. There's people that are coming in and telling them these things. So Paul's apostleship or his authority come from God and not from man. Men are telling them these things, but God has told them that, hey, I paid it all. I gave it all for you on the cross of Calvary. You know, there's a danger of distorting the gospel. So what was the danger that Paul quoted, or he said twice? If we misinterpret the gospel to be something that it is not, let us be accursed. Folks, we don't want to be a church that is telling people that, yes, you have to accept Jesus Christ, you know, and give your life to him, but you have to do these other things also in order to be saved. Do you have to be saved or do you have to go to church to be saved? You do not. You have to be in right standing with the Lord. Now, that might be a different story. Do you have to read your Bible every day and spend an hour a day in the Word and in prayer in order to be saved? Doesn't say that, does it? But what does he do? So it's not what we do to be saved. It is because we are saved, our desires change and we want to do things. We don't have to do things, but we want to do things. So I would ask this question, what's wrong with your wonder? Is your wonder broke? But we want to say, well, this is a requirement of salvation. And it's not. I want people to come. I want people to be here. But you know what I want even more? These people to want to be. They want to be. And they desire to be. So it's not what I want and what I want from people. It's what God, I want them to want what God wants in their lives. It's something that will help them grow in their relationship with the Lord. But is it required? We like to a lot of times put the cart before the horse. Well, in order to be saved, you've got to clean up your life. You know, you've got to come down. You know, you've got to start dressing right. You've got to start, you know, talking right. You've got to start doing all these things right. And God says, hey, let me do the cleaning. It ain't your job to do the cleaning. It's your job to share the grace of God with others around you. When we share that grace and we share that love and people know who Jesus Christ is, it will transform their lives. But we run a danger by distorting. What does it mean to distort? You have the truth sitting in front of you, but you twist it. You know, whenever you're looking at something in a, you know, in a picture and you look at it, it says, I can tell what it is, but it's just a little distorted. It's just a little off. We have to be careful that we're not distorting the gospel, that we're showing the gospel for what it truly is. And God will do the cleaning. I'm not Mr. Clean. I am the one that shares Jesus and loves the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and love my neighbor as myself. And we have to understand that there's an exclusivity to the gospel. Some people want to say, well, there's different ways to Jesus Christ. This is one of them distorting the gospels. We are saved by grace alone, and some people want to come by, well, you can climb over the fence another way if you do good. If you knock on enough doors, then you'll be saved. Have you ever read that? Doesn't say it. Should we knock on doors? Should we share the gospel? Yes. But is that a requirement for salvation? No. It's not. So there's so many people out there that they think that you have to have so many visits a day or so many visits a week. And there's different religions out there. I'm not going to call them Christian because I don't believe they're Christian. They call themselves Christian. But we want to show that, hey, God's grace is what God's word says, not what tradition tells you or some authority from above in your hierarchy of people tell you. That's the reason that we as Baptists, as Southern Baptists, that we are independent churches, that there is no one in the Southern Baptist Convention that sits up there and tells our church what they can or can't do. There's no one in our association that can come with Brother Chuck sitting here and he'll agree with it. There's no one in our association that comes in here and tells us, well, you've got to do this, this, and this, you know, to be a Christian church. Man, it is Jesus is the head and we are the body. There's no one that is above us that is coming down and telling us what we are supposed to do and giving us instructions. Our instructions come from God's word. And what does God's word tell us? That we are saved by grace plus nothing. It's grace alone. And And I don't want people to experience false salvations. Don't get me wrong there, because I've been there in my own life. You know that I walked the aisle when I was young. But I will tell you, whenever you experience the grace, the true grace of Jesus Christ, it's going to change you. And you're going to be transformed from the inside out. And that's something that we all need to look at. Are there evidences then of salvation? Yes. People can see what you do, how you treat people. Because what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. What's in our heart, what's in our soul comes out in our attitudes and how we speak. So we see, you know, that there's an exclusivity, you know, to the gospel message, and that is that Jesus died for me and you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to know about the gospel, go ahead and go just read that whole chapter. But if you want the gospel, you can look at the first, I think it's verse 3. I'd have to look. It might be 5. You know, it's where it says, the gospel is this: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that God died for you? That he hung on a tree for your sins, and he paid that penalty for you on the cross? Do you believe that he was buried in a borrowed tomb? You don't have any worried about no borrowed tomb. That he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day, victorious over death. Do you believe it? Do you trust in Jesus? Do you give him your all? Say, Lord, I trust that you paid it all for me. Believe that within your heart, in that cardia, you know, that heart that is not the what is beating inside of you, that physical thing, but our innermost being. If our heart stops, what happens? If our physical heart stops, what happens? We die. He's saying that, hey, if your innermost being, that's what keeps you alive. In the spirit side of it, man, you need to have that changed. And whenever you accept Jesus Christ and you receive his grace and you understand that grace that he has given to you, it's going to transform your life. So what do we need to do? We need to guard against false teachings of today. There are so many false teachings. You can turn on the TV and you notice that you don't hear a lot of the true gospel preaching on TV today. You hear the tickle my ears and you hear the prosperity gospel, you know, being preached on TV today because, well, that's what sells. Listen to what God's fight against false prophets. How do you know? Oh, here goes a good question. How do you know if something is false? Yeah, but how do you know that? Because you know the truth. If you know the truth, if you know what God's word says, and someone says something that is against it, that is false, what's going to happen? It's going to throw up a red flag. If a red flag pops up, guess what you need to start doing? You need to start listening. Like, what'd they say? I have to do this. Or I don't have to do this. I don't have to give my life to Jesus. I can just do whatever I want, and God will save me, because God saves everyone, called universalism. You know, God saves everyone and everyone's going to go to heaven because there is no hell. And there's people that preach that stuff. Folks, heaven is real and hell is hot. And you're going to go one of the two places. And the only way you're going to get to go to heaven is through the grace of God and accepting Him by putting your faith in Him. And you will have a relationship and you will get to be with Jesus one day. True salvation. Well, how do you know if it's true? It's going to change you. It's going to transform your life. So I can't do certain things anymore that are in the law. It doesn't say that because, you know, let me just give you an example. Who in here likes catfish? I don't, but that's not really cool. I like wearing clothes with two different types of material. Do you know in the law it says that you can't eat catfish? Well, that one doesn't apply to us, Brother Jimmy. It's this other one, you know, that applies, you know, that you can't do. We like to pick and choose what fits our life. I'm glad I'm not under the law. I'm glad that God saved me from that and that I no longer have to live that way, that I don't have to live a perfect life in order to get to heaven. I have to trust in Jesus. His grace. That we receive something that we do not. So I would ask you this morning, are you living your life by a set of rules saying, well, if I do these things, that God will love me. If I don't, God just doesn't love me. Man, God loves you regardless. God loves you and He desires and wants to have a relationship with you. We have to take that step of faith to receive His grace in our lives. So have you done that this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you truly received His grace this morning? Not that I have to do all these things in order to get saved or to stay saved. Love Jesus, and He has transformed my water. I want different things than who I used to be. Because now the flesh no longer controls me, the Spirit controls me. And that's what God wants from us today. Let's stand this morning as we pray. Lord, we just come before You just thanking You, Lord, for all that You have done for us, Lord, for all of Your grace that You have bestowed upon us, Lord, that we no longer have to live by the law, Lord, but that we live by Your grace, that we live in it, Lord, because of all that You have done for us. Lord, I'd ask for one here this morning that does not know You in that free pardon of grace, that today would be that day, Lord, that they would give up all of their things that they think they have to do, Lord, and just give their lives to You and Your grace and live in faith.